I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
Record a podcast. Go us. Look at us.
It's doing the first things. Pod of the year.
We're doing it.
Yes. Will it be edited and released in the next 30 days? We'll find out.
Don't fucking worry about it, listener. You got it when you got it.
I mean, truly. Like, I can come up with excuses. Sometimes I think they're valid. Was I in a boot? Yes. Did I get bronchitis as soon as I got back from traveling at Christmas? Yes.
Yeah. Has the past like 3 to 4 months of the year been not super awesome for you, the person who edits the pod? Yeah.
Yeah. However, part of it is that Anthony, my loving spouse, got us a Mac Mini several months ago, which is awesome. And so now I can like record the pod on like a big screen and it's great. However, because we are not in our normal living setup, because we are still fighting with insurance about our roof. I don't even know if you all know that situation, listener, but it's dumb.
It's super dumb.
Our roommates, Matt and Delilah, have been living in our guest room since August because of these twats with the insurance and restoration company, which means we don't have our normal desk setup, which means that the Mac Mini lives on our dresser with a monitor, which means it's like a standing desk all the time. And I have to be honest with you, dear listener, I don't always want to stand to do this. And when I was using a MacBook, I could like be in bed and edit. And now I don't, I actually have to find energy to edit. And I don't always have that. So, you know, because standing is hard.
It sure is.
It sure is.
I had to stand when I bruised my tailbone last month.
Oh my God, yeah.
Pew-pew. And, but, which by the way is still bruised.
Oh no.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's because standing a lot at work when I'm not busy just feels terrible. When I'm busy, I'm constantly doing things. If we're not super busy, I'm like, what if I sat down and rested? And so that's what I do.
Also, I know no one will care. This is our 37th episode, which is very cool. And anytime the number 37 comes into like anything, I have to make the Monty Python reference. I'm 37. I'm not old. You know, and I just, so I put that meme in our notes. And, you know, I wanted you all to know how funny I am. I'm like really funny.
Wow.
It's a little baby burp, but
I am so phlegmy. Like, it's just, and I am every morning. This is not an unusual thing for me, but I don't usually talk a lot in the morning.
So now it's just,
so you could, I could just,
it's just really at the surface.
It's just, you know,
the infinite phlegm factory that is Anna.
Honestly, it's bad, and it's only gotten worse since I've lived in the desert because, you know, it's dry, and my body's constantly like,
come back to the Midwest.
We probably are.
Yes! All right. Well, yeah, we'll stop. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. All right. Today, we are serving up for you 3 total picks because –
we're lazy.
And I haven't been paying attention. Also, it's like the off season for the NWSL. And we really haven't been paying too much attention to what's been happening in Australia or the WSL. However, I did see that Canberra United in Australia gave up 10 goals in their last 2 games, which major sucks.
Like, yeah, and while I have been paying attention to Australia, insofar as we have been watching the last season of Love Island Australia, have not been paying attention to the soccer.
Oh, God. Hat pick number 3. It is fucking Trader Joe's over here. No, since we have not potted since December and we have not done a pod about current soccer events since October, which is fine because you can wait for greatness. There are a lot of NWSL trades to catch up on.
Yeah, so Kari Vaccaro was traded to Chicago from Angel City for $65,000 in allocation money. Abby Ersig, Carson Pickett, and Emily Fox were all traded. So this trade was dramatic.
Those dogs? Fucking dogs. I hear it. I hear it. Canvas. Easel.
Are we done?
It's going to be a great pod. Maybe I won't edit.
Leave this out. Okay. Trade was dramatic. North Carolina Courage got Emily Fox and Louisville got Abby Ersig and Carson Pickett, which means Louisville definitely got the better end of this trade. Like, no offense to Emily Fox, who is good. But to get two incredible defenders?
Yeah. Like,
we also think this is because Abby Ersig spoke up publicly about North Carolina being bad at trades during the draft, which, I mean, I just loved the tweet that was, we continue to be bad at trades or at drafts. So good. But anyway, apparently it was a surprise. And we expect that both of them were a part of the trade because Pickett and Ersig are together. They are dating. And we love that for them.
So next, actually, this is in reverse order because I found this cool website that has all the trades and shit listed. It's very cool. But it goes like from most recent to not as recent.
Yeah.
Merritt Mathias was traded to Angel City from North Carolina for Tyler Lucy, which we think is appropriate for Tyler Lucy, who gives off big North Carolina energy since she was suspended for yanking someone's ponytail when she played for the Thorns. And I don't know a ton about Merritt Mathias, but I know that M, our TikTok friend, is disappointed in this because Merritt Mathias is her soccer nemesis, which we then proceeded to have a conversation about soccer nemeses.
But I also, I think this is the general vibe that Merritt Mathias gives off. Merritt Mathias is also good friends with Ashlyn Harris, who has been traveling down the like soccer villain path for a little while now, and I don't really know why. They all went to North Carolina together. And Merritt Mathias also blamed another player for when she tore her ACL. Oh,
right, yeah.
Which I get that it was maybe a not okay tackle. I get that like shit like that happens. But ma'am, if you think for a moment you are the only player who has torn her ACL because of a bad tackle, you are not. Just a reminder that that is unfortunately a part of the game and that does in fact suck. Can confirm. Do get that. But I don't think that it is probably an okay thing to do to just blame the other player. To like overtly blame the other player on social media in a big ass post.
Yeah, that's pretty shitty.
Stupid. Anyway, well, continue.
Email us at hatpickspod@gmail.com with who your soccer nemesis is. Mine is Ellen White, but she's retiring, so I have to pick a different one.
Yeah, and she is Pergnat.
Pergnat. Okay, next, Houston. Next, you know what I mean. Okay. Houston acquired Deanna Ordonez and a 2023 third round pick, and North Carolina acquired the following: 2024 first round pick, 2023 international roster spot, $100,000 in allocation money, 2023 first round pick. Just a note, Ordonez is really fucking good, like really good. And this is the trade that Ersig spoke up about, where she was like, we are still bad at trades. Because like she was one of their like star players last year she was a rookie, right?
I think so.
She's young. She's not that old.
Yeah.
And she was like one of the top goal scorers in the league. I mean, obviously this is a lot for North Carolina, but still like getting rid of every good player you have. And then, yeah. Anyway, Paige Monahan traded to Louisville along with $150,000 in allocation money and a 2023 international roster spot in exchange for a first round pick in the 2023 draft for Gotham. again, maybe thinking that Louisville got the better end of this deal. Like, I don't know what Louisville's doing, but maybe they were like, yeah, we only gave Tobin Heath away for $50,000 in allocation money, so we really got to make up some ground here.
Truly.
Yes.
And then in a surprise to us all, including the player herself, Lynn Williams was traded by Kansas City to Gotham for a first round pick for Kansas City. Please go to Em Woods' TikTok to watch her real-time reaction video to this trade because it is gold. It is, in fact, gold. The Washington Spirit traded Emily Sonnet to O.L. Reign in exchange for a 2024 first-round pick and a 2023 third-round pick. Elise Bennett was traded to O.L. Reign from Kansas City along with a 2023 second-round pick. Kansas City got $150,000 in allocation money. Yasmin Ryan. This was like a multi-team trade, so just imagine it in your head, like the recycle sign, okay? So Portland trades Yasmin Ryan to Angel City in exchange for a 2024 second-round pick, $200,000 in allocation money, and a 2023 first-round pick. Angel City then trades Yasmin Ryan and $250,000 in allocation money to Gotham, who in return gave Angel City a 2023 first-round draft pick. Like, okay, Yasmin Ryan, incredible player. We love it. Portland got her as their first pick in the 2021 draft, but this is lots of monies.
It's very expensive.
It's very expensive. And I know that Yasmin Ryan was just on a championship-winning team. Like, that is great. Buzz lost some monies.
Yes. Yes, big time money.
And it's not to say that she's not worth it, but it's just confusing given the other amounts of money that are thrown around in trades.
Yes.
So it's not that she's not worth the $200,000, $250,000 price range. It's just how are we determining that money?
And I'm not good at math, but all that money came from Angel City, right? Like,
yes.
Because they gave her and that money to Gotham, and they gave money to Portland for her.
Yeah. Basically, the money that, yeah.
Dude, well, they do have a lot of money, though. They have, like, so many high-profile backers, I guess, that they can just, like, toss it around.
Yeah, it's just so much money.
It's a lot of money. Maybe we could, I don't know, like, end homelessness or something. Like,
we could do anything.
So many things. Okay. Also, some notable free agency shifts. Kelly O'Hara, congrats on getting engaged, bitch. Right? Engaged? Or was it married?
Okay. No, engaged.
She's now at Gotham. Davinia notably left the North Carolina Courage and is now with Kansas City.
Love to see it.
Multiple exclamation points.
Yes.
I almost
did you almost say gout rat?
Yes, I did. So Morgan Gautreaux, formerly Morgan Bryan, got married to a French person.
I'm not even sure if he's actually French. I think he's like the way like white people are from someplace in Europe. Like that's what we're looking at.
That's the level. But Anna and I have consistently called her Morgan Goutrat since then because that's how it's spelled. And so it's on paper. I want to say Goutrat. It's Gautreaux. Okay. Morgan Gautreaux and Vanessa DiBernardo are now with Kansas City. Sorry, Chicago. Who's having a bit of a tough time right now.
Boy, howdy.
Kristen Emmons and Abby Smith are now with Gotham, and I'm sure there's more, but here's some other shit that's, like, not trade, not free agency, but also just, like, notable player stuff. Aaron McLeod and Gunny Yun's daughter. congrats to these bitches, too, on getting married, are leaving the NWSL, so it will no longer be with the Pride. And speaking of the Pride, Ashlyn Harris. Nope, she's playing with Gotham. JK. But she was with the Pride for a long time.
Yeah.
Ashlyn Harris is retiring. Villain.
Truly, truly going down the villain path.
I know. Yeah. We are also pretty certain that Tierna Davidson is now playing with VfL Wolfsburg. So there's a lot of transitions among current players. And now we're going to toss in the bebes.
The bebes.
I'm so I'm not sorry.
You're not sorry. And that's okay. Jillian wrote for the hat pick numero dos, what do you have on draft? So as you can tell from the trades that we just talked about, teams were willing to give up some major shit for certain draft picks in the 2023 draft, which happened on January 12th, 2023. There were 48 overall picks over the course of four rounds.
We could go over all these, but we don't want to. And you probably don't want us to either, because they're mostly college students, and chances are you and us don't know who they are. But we will go over some of the first round picks. So here they are.
The number one overall pick was forward Alyssa Thompson, selected by Angel City. Now, this is a big deal because she is the first high schooler ever drafted in the NWSL. Truly, un bebé.
And this is that draft pick that Angel City got spent so much money on
to get.
Yeah.
Number two was for Kansas City, and they selected Michelle Cooper, a forward out of Duke. And honestly... she better be really fucking good, because this is who they got for that Lynn Williams trade with Gotham.
Wow.
I mean, what? Orlando selected number three overall and got Emily Madrill, a defender from Florida State. And then Gotham, also from Florida State, Gotham got the number four overall pick, midfielder Jenna Nyswanger.
Incredible name. Portland then selected next and picked Reina Reyes, a defender from the University of Alabama. She is also from Mexico. So it's interesting that she chose to play in the NWSL, especially when she could play for teams like Tigres Femenil. Anyway, number six overall went to the Courage, and they selected forward Olivia Wingate out of Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
No.
We're not all as fancy as Anna.
No. I figured if I was going to lean into Mexico, I was going to lead into Notre Dame.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
That's what I heard.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Next was for Gotham. We got forward Penelope Hawking out of Penn State. LOL Penelope, which I have literally been sitting on since the draft. So I saw that happen and I was like, has anybody else seen this? Okay. And finally, because I didn't feel like typing more. Defender Sydney Collins out of Cal Berkeley was selected by North Carolina as the number eight overall pick.
Yeah, there's obviously more, like 40 more, which is great. We love that. Notably, the only other player not from the U.S. was Nicole Douglas, an ASU player, Arizona State, drafted by the Spirit, who is from jolly old England.
Right? No, I'm not even the right accent. Alabama and Florida State had the most players drafted from their schools with three each. And then Kansas City drafted the most players, eight, followed by the Washington Spirit with six. And while most of these draftees were field positions, there were six goalkeepers drafted overall, including two to Kansas City. So
you love to see it.
Fun fact, I'll have a pint of that, please.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so good. So good. All right. On to our... tips of the hat variety. Hat tips. Over 500,000 tickets have been sold so far to the World Cup in New Zealand and Australia this summer. It's their winter, though.
Just watch a couple. Just watch an episode of Love Island Australia, please.
Anna sent me... Pew-pew! Anna sent me this great video of the band Haim, like the three sisters doing like Australian accents. Is so fucking good. Yes.
Which I've now learned that when the E sounds like that, it's actually New Zealand, not Australian.
Yes.
Yeah, because one of the guys on this season of Love Island Australia is actually from New Zealand, and there's not a lot of differences in their accents for me and my ears, because
right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know the regional differences, and I'm sure that would piss off a lot of people from the regions. But this Kiwi boy, all of his E's sounded like E's, so it was the best time he's ever had.
Beast.
Oh my God. Incredible. Okay. Anyway, there is potentially going to be a Club World Cup. Plans are being considered by FIFA, but have not yet been approved. But this would be cool and neat, and also different from Champions League, which is also essentially a Club World Cup for kind of Europe for the most part. But this would be bigger. That'd be cool.
The NWSL is expanding to the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's coming back to Utah and Boston. So that is also cool and neat. Yeah. I am going to the She Believes Cup next month with Anthony and my parents in Nashville.
I love that.
Should be very cute and adorable. So we're going to go to the match that is I think it's the middle round of matches.
Yeah.
So the first game is the USA versus Japan, and then it'll be Canada versus Brazil. And you get tickets in there, like, for the doubleheader. So, like, barring any, like, disgusting weather, which in Nashville, honestly, it could go either way. Yeah, and it's at their new Geodis Park, which is, like, their new MLS team's park. And so it should be a good time.
Hell yeah. The Canadian Professional Women's Soccer League is set to start in 2025, and apparently the effort is being led by Diana Matheson, Christine Sinclair, as well as Steph LeBay. So that's rad. Not in soccer news, but a tip. Jillian is now an Indiana Fever fan. We are getting her to be a fan of the NWSL. Nope, of the WNBA. She already is a fan of the NWSL. No. She's going to be a WNBA fan, and her team, as it is the closest to where she currently lives in St. Louis, is the Indiana Fever. So she's an Indiana Fever fan and has a shirt to prove it.
I do. Anna and Em were just, like, texting all of this knowledgeable shit about the WNBA in our thread. And I was just like, I'm here. And Anna was like, I feel it in my bones. This is the year you're going to be a fan. And so I was like, okay, what team should I pick? And Anna was like, this. No, this. And so Indiana Fever is the closest, and Nike had a sale on shirts, so I got myself a shirt. I got Anthony a Dallas Wings shirt since he is a Mavs fan. We're going to lean into it. The season doesn't start till May, it doesn't look like. It's a long time to wait, but I will do my best.
But the WNBA – so now – okay. So here's the fun part. So March Madness is going to happen for the collegiate teams.
Yes.
And you get to see the incredible players that are going to be picked in the draft that happens in April.
Nice.
And then you get to see them play in their WNBA seasons.
Pew, pew.
So you get
– Yes.
You get a lot of content up before that.
Yes, I'm excited. And I am going, Anthony and I, in a silent auction thing we got for something. We got tickets to go to a St. Louis University women's basketball game. So we're going to go to that in a couple of weeks. So it'll help me get on the women's basketball train.
Hell yeah.
Yes. In trash people news, but good news, Paul Riley, Christy Holly, Roy Dames, and Richie Burke are now permanently banned from all participation in the NWSL, which we fucking love to see.
We sure do. And final hat tip, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs.
No way.
Is now also part owner of the Kansas City Current, along with his wife, Brittany Lynn. So we're just making that whole thing a family affair because it's the Longs, which are one family, and now the Mahomes. And they are just going to put all their money into the Current, and we love to see it.
We do love to see that. Especially since they are the closest team to me. Well, one of the closest teams. No, I think they're actually the closest. And this will be a good lead-in to our hat drops because Portland is having a tough time.
Yeah,
it's Portland. I can really lean into my Kansas City fandom now.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be leaning into my San Diego fandom because right now their only downside is Jill Ellis.
Yeah.
And if one against a whole slew of staff, we can work through that somehow. All right, so hat drops. Portland does in fact continue to set itself on fire. So we mentioned on the last pod, that we talked about current events.
No, this was actually, we did toss this in the
history one?
In the history one because of the tie-in.
So bad.
Because of, what's her place? Rian Wilkinson being on the Canada team. Yeah.
Okay. So we mentioned on the last pod that shit with Portland's former head coach and apparent Merritt Paulson stands Emily Mangus and Christine Sinclair. And if you thought that was it, you are not correct. You are in fact wrong. So this week it was announced that trainer Pierre Soubrier. Yeah. Anyway, Crystal Dunn's husband, by the way, and assistant coach Sophie Clough were both fired. I don't actually care how to say your name.
Crystal Dunn's husband.
Good one.
Gave
good one.
Players medication containing codeine without a prescription or a doctor's supervision, and at least once without a player's informed consent. This is very dumb and dangerous.
It show is.
What if there was like a fucking reaction or some shit?
Yeah, there's like so many things that could have gone wrong there. Yes. And they are truly lucky that they didn't.
Yeah.
Clough was fired for making unwanted contact with the player. I believe kissing a player's neck at the championship game. I just – does anybody there know what consent is? It is a hot garbage dumpster fire explosion in Portland. And we just feel really bad for the players. Like, yeah. It's awful.
And like really. Especially coming off of what – should have been months of celebration and excitement leading up to this season because they won a fucking championship. Yeah. Everyone sucks. But us.
I was just going to say it.
U.S. soccer is bad at designing stuff. They just put out the most boring ass shirt ever. And also their uniforms are not that great either. It's just, that's it. That's all.
So, like, Jackson Pollock S jersey with the one button. It has one button, right? And I just, who is over there looking at like Nigeria's jerseys and looking at like the US jersey and being like,
yeah, this one.
Yeah, this one's good. This one's good. We've done it. This is on par with how badass. Even the Lionesses jersey. The Lionesses jerseys are like so simple, but like the crest is like kind of like opalescent and like, it's really fucking like just do a cool thing.
We could do so much, so much better, and we have in the past. I don't know what's happening right now.
Just do one cool thing. Just one. Just one.
Oh my god! All right, Sarah Bjork Gunnarsdottir, something like that. I'm so sorry, Icelandic player.
The daughter of Gunnar.
Yes. There was an article that came out a couple weeks ago this past week about some pregnancy bullshit that she went through. And you should read the full story. But basically, OL Air France failed to pay her full salary after she announced she was pregnant in 2021, which is very shitty. The good news on that front is that she took OL to the FIFA tribunal, which is like, what? Is that like fucking Survivor? Like, what is happening? She won back in May of 2022. Again, though, the major story is just like just now coming out. The ruling ordered that Lyon pay her $88,867 plus 5% interest. And of course, because Lyon sucked in that sense, she now plays for Italy. She plays in Italy for Juventus. Fuck you, Lyon. That was a dumb thing to do.
It sure was. And I'm also, and I know we'll never ever get this story, but Amel Majri was pregnant this past year and she also plays for OL. And, but she's a French, like she is French. She is from France. And I am just interested to see if it would ever come out how they handled her pregnancy. Because if we're following the French laws, which is what that article said, it was like they were following like the French rules that are in place, not the FIFA rules that are in place or whatever else. Does that mean that you didn't pay her either? I have follow-up questions. But anyway, we'll never hear that story ever. Last hat drop. Vivian Miedema ruptured her ACL, which is a big-time bummer. But now she and Beth Mead can be ACL injury buddies together.
Yay! Yeah.
It's just so upsetting. Anyway. It's just only one Arsenal team can be doing well at a time, apparently. Like, Arsenal women's was doing really, really well. And then everybody hurt their ACL.
Yes.
And so that means that only one team can do well because, God forbid, both of them do well at the same time. No, Arsenal men have been doing fairly well all season, knock on wood. They've been at the top of the board. So, you know, why does one have to suffer so the other can succeed?
You can only have one nice thing, Anna.
God fucking damn it. Okay. Our shared number one hat pick this pod is the U.S. Women's National Team Down Under. So the U.S. Women's National Team traveled to the land of the Kiwis to play a couple friendlies against the New Zealand Ferns. There were two games, January 18th and January 21st for us. They were technically January 17th and 20th in New Zealand, I think, because I was looking.
I think that's the days that it was.
That's the days there. And it's New Zealand. Yeah. 17th and 20th here. That's the one. Also, New Zealand doesn't call themselves New Zealand. Like, they're Aotearoa/New Zealand, because Aotearoa is the Maori name. Mm-hmm. So for the most of this, I just call the team the Ferns, because all of the teams have cool names, like the All Blacks. So I call them the Ferns through most of this, just to not continuously fuck up saying Aotearoa, because that's hard for our little American mouths. So in order to both respect but also not fuck it up, they're the Ferns. So for the first time, the games were aired on HBO Max. And generally not our favorite way to watch a game. And this pissed me the fuck off. So what is even more infuriating is that the U.S. men's national teams had games the following week, which, by the way, were talked about a fuck ton during halftime of these games, which is stupid shit. Anyway, they were also aired on HBO Max, but they were also aired on TNT, which is a channel that is on any basic cable package.
And we understand that, like, most people don't have a basic cable package anymore, and streaming services are, like, the future of TV or whatever. But, like, some people still have cable or, like, YouTube TV or something like that. And, like, maybe we could also put the U.S. Women's National Team on TNT. Like, we can kick the NBA off for 2 hours. It's not a big fucking deal. Also, I would like to note that the camera angles for this were fucking awful. It was dizzying to watch this. They were zoomed in too much and changing at bad times. It just was not good. So, like, HBO needs to get their shit together if they're going to keep this contract going. And put us on fucking TNT, you dumb shits. Okay, anyway, back to soccer. As is tradition, when playing the Ferns, the U.S. Women's National Team crushed them in both games. Yikes.
So on January 18th in Wellington, the teams faced each other in their first games of 2023. And I'm not going to lie, the first half of this game, we were stressed.
Much stressed.
And deeply concerned. The U.S. Women's National Team was not in sync. They were kind of just like haphazardly playing something that could be considered soccer. And it just looked a mess, to be quite honest. And it, like, we were texting about it. It genuinely made us concerned to see them face teams in this same exact situation in Wellington, in New Zealand, in 6 months.
Yeah, it was very, it looked like they were playing in slow motion. Like, it was not good. But then the second half happened. They weren't, like, necessarily more cohesive, or, like, they didn't fix a ton of what was wrong, but they did take more chances and were more aggressive in the attacking third, which is, like, how the first goal happened for them or whatever. It was actually the first goal for the U.S. Women's National Team in the year of our Lord, 2023. And a score by Mallory Swanson in the 52nd minute. Okay. Mallory Pugh got Matt Pew. Oh, that's good. I should put the sound effect there. That's good.
Pew!
Got married to Dansby Swanson of the Chicago Cubs and has changed her name, and we're still getting used to it. We do think it's a bit of a downgrade name-wise.
No offense, Dansby.
Sorry, Dansby. But speaking of Dansby Swanson, like, when he, you know, he, like, went to the Cubs, and, like, Mal Swanson plays in Chicago for the Red Stars. And so it makes sense that her now husband would, like, want to go play in the same city as his wife. But apparently Anthony was telling me that, like, people were, like, complaining about, like, him just, like, chasing money and doing that stuff. And I was like, oh, you don't know the fact that he's, like, married now to, like, a really talented women's soccer player who also plays professionally?
Why would these men baseball fans know anything about a woman?
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Yeah. So in the 52nd minute, Trinity Rodman is doing her thing on the wing and very casually just uses her incredible footwork to get around the Ferns defender. Also important to note that most of the players on the field for the Ferns are essentially infants.
First like yesterday.
There were so many young bebe players. But anyway, she gets around the defender. I mean, to be fair, Trinity Rodman, also un bebe. So, like, it's all babies.
Yes.
But, like, Trinity Rodman is, like, a week old and these babies were birthed yesterday. Yes. Right? So, yes. Anyway, she gets around the defender, takes a quick touch, and then rockets the ball into the 18. Directly in front of the goal where little, small Mallory Swanson jumps, like, so high in the...
Yes.
Like... She jumps to the high heavens and heads the ball in the most magnificent arc you've ever seen over Erin Naylor's head and straight into the back of the goal.
It's like if she's wearing those like little moon boot things that like have little like trampolines in them. I mean, she like jumped high. It's like gravity
she launched herself in the air.
Gravity did not exist in that moment for her.
No.
The second goal of this game came from Bebe Horse herself, who received an incredible ball from Rose Lavelle from a back heel pass. Which is amazing. Rosie is like really out here bringing that Tobin Heath energy, and like we love it. We are here for it. This goal, also a classic Alex Morgan goal across the keeper to the back post. Beautiful, amazing. Chef's keys. We love it.
Amazing. Next, another goal from Mallory Swanson. We love starting the year with a brace. Ashley Sanchez sent in a great ball for Swanson that left her with just like so much space. She got around Naylor and then just gently tapped the ball into the goal. Cool, calm, casual. Love to see it. We would have loved to see any of that in the first half. But alas, earwax. The USM's national team are then up 3-0 in the 63rd minute.
And then in the final goal of the game, don't call it a comeback, but Lynn Williams is back, baby. After getting her hamstring reattached.
Once more for the people in the back, hamstring reattached.
I've been catching up on Snacks, the podcast that she does with Sammy Mui, and listening to like what was happening with her. She's had hip problems for a long time, and then she like literally felt it pop, like in a, and like tried to walk it off. And then she joked with Sam Mewis, like, I think my hamstring like just like I think it just popped off. And so she had to have it fucking reattached. And so to, like, see her back out here scoring the final goal of the match in the 74th minute was amazing. So Trinity Rodman sends a great ball in and directly to where Lynn Williams is being sandwiched between two fans. Between two ferns.
Yeah.
Like Zach Galifianakis. Okay. So she's sandwiched. But that does not stop Lynn goddamn Williams. Crapsitutely not. It never will. She gets her ass up in the air for an incredible header, which really put the nail in the coffin of this game. Also, this goal looked almost exactly like that goal from Mal Swanson. Like, yeah. Trinity Rodman giving the same amazing service in. I watched and I was like, is this the same?
Didn't we already see this?
Lynn Williams is a little bigger than Mal Swanson, though, so it wasn't, like, as dramatic.
Yeah.
It's still amazing. Yeah.
She didn't have to launch herself up into the air quite as much, but she did have to get out from between two defenders.
From between two ferns.
Yeah. Okay. So there was one more game on January 21st in Auckland where these two teams met again. this game, the U.S. Women's National Team looked more like they knew what they were doing in the first half, so much so that they actually scored some goals, which was exciting.
Nice.
Yeah. So in the 22nd minute, we get our first goal from Ashley Hatch, our newest addition in the assist. No, Ashley Hatch, our newest addition to the assist line of royalty. Trinity Rodman sends a perfect ball in that curves around the Ferns back line and finds the feet of Hatch. Hat one touches it to the back of the goal. What a lovely club connection. Go Spirit.
And the goals, they keep on coming. So in the 39th minute, Rose Lavelle, we love our little Rosie, our little pale goblin. I love her.
Truly.
She gets to put her name on the sheet. And she's the captain in this game, which is great.
So great.
So Sofia Huerta sends a long and lofted ball into the box where Lavelle just extends her leg to get a touch on it, which she somehow does. Like, I've watched it back, and I don't get it, but it happens. Golazo. And a lovely, like, club connection 2.0. Go rain. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so with a comfortable lead going in the second half, we don't see another goal until the 53rd minute. Mal Swanson slams one into the back of the goal off of a deflection from Trinity Rodman, giving the U.S. Women's National Team a more substantial lead early in the second half.
I would also like to say that, like, while she is still, like, I think working on her consistency, Mal Swanson has made quite a comeback. Like, oh, yeah. I think that there was, like, a point where we were, like, not sure if we would even see her called up again to the U.S. Women's National Team. And she has really, like, good for her. Like, she has really fucking done it. She has been shining for Chicago, shines for the U.S. Women's National Team. Like, good work.
I think she was unhappy with a lot of situations, and that caused friction when she was playing. Like, you could see her frustration a lot more. Like, you could see that she, like, there was stuff going on with her, each of her teams, that she was not happy with, and some things got figured out, and whether that was in her personal life or, like, in the front offices of whatever teams, but she's like, I'm here to play soccer. I'm gonna play soccer. I'm gonna do it well, and this is what I'm doing.
Yeah,
and it's great.
Yeah, it is. She's really fun to watch. 74th minute, Rose Lavelle gets herself a brace. We love a brace, except maybe like a back brace, unless it's helping you, in which case we love that too.
Or maybe like orthodontia, not my most favorite. Oh,
not fun. Did you go to the orthodontist this week?
Oh my God.
I did the mold thing because I still have to wear like retainers and night guards and stuff because of who I am as a person. And they had to do the molds each one twice worst. Because I don't know if the person was doing it wrong, but they were like, yeah, we need one more. And I was like, God damn it.
I'm like, going to throw these up. Stop.
I have a small mouth.
I feel you.
And apparently like very strong jaw muscles, all the grinding and clenching.
Yeah, sure.
And so like they don't fit in my mouth all the way. So I feel like I'm literally about to choke like when it's happening. It's so annoying. And I was like, why do I still have to do this? And I'm not like 14 anymore. Like, I do not understand this. Anyway, very off topic. Rose Lavelle gets herself a brace.
But you should definitely keep it in.
Yes. I will. A ball lofted from the outside of the 18 to like right past the penalty spot by Lynn Williams. Hey, girl. Finds Lavelle's whole body. She kind of uses her knee and then her shin to kick the ball in, and it puts the U.S. Women's National Team up 4-0.
Yeah, and then the final goal of the game comes from Taylor Korniak in the 80th minute. The goal happened the way most Taylor Korniak goals happen. It was a corner kick. The ball was sent in. She gets a header because she's a head taller than everybody. And then, you know, ball back the goal. Incredible. Love to see it.
We do. The game ended with U.S. Women's National Team winning 5-0. Now, while we did see some incredible goals, we also saw a lot of weak spots. It's exciting to see them win, but they play in a World Cup as defending champions, in two-time defending champions, in just a few months. And they have not been playing that well against teams that are harder to beat than the Ferns, a la Germany at the end of – I don't even know if we talked about those games. We did, I think. Did we? I don't know.
It was so long ago.
It was so long ago. They, you know, like losing three plus. Did they win three or four? They lost three or four matches in a row for the first time, like in ever. So long, maybe ever. And like, it's no offense to the Ferns, like a little offense, I guess. But like, they're just like not that good. Like, they try really hard, go Allie Riley, but like, they're not a competitive team. And so like, us playing like we did, I say us, LOL. Like. The U.S. Women's National Team playing like they did in that first match against the Ferns, like, was, like, really concerning. It was, like, if you're playing this way against a team that, I mean, obviously they did go on to win by a lot, but, like, that you normally smash, like, what are you going to do against England, who you also lost to at Wembley?
Yikes. Yeah, it's not great. And Vlatko is consistently trying to force things that aren't working. And if it costs this team what would be their three-peat World Cup championship, if he takes away their Michael Jordan opportunity, their Chicago Bulls opportunity, he can get fucked.
Big time.
I'm not here for it.
Big time offense.
The fact that he has not gotten fired is truly mind-boggling to me.
And this is to say, like, we are, like, we love the U.S. Women's National Team. We're proud of these players. They put in the work. They put in the effort. Don't know if they're being led by the best person right now. Don't know that he is doing the best management. And so it's funny because, like, anything bad that happens, I want to blame on him. And anything good that happens, he does not get credit for in my mind.
Absolutely not. No, he does not. But I also think that potentially part of the reason why he remains the coach is because the coaches out there that U.S. soccer might want to hire are not looking to move from positions that they are currently in.
Yeah.
So we're stuck with him. And if I swear to God, I don't mind if we lose after playing well.
Yeah. Like
that's fine.
Yeah.
Again, we, LOL. But when they play poorly as a result of bad coaching and bad player management at bad player position and all the other bad things that he's doing, I will be pissed. Pissed.
Anna will be angry.
I need to send you – okay, so most of my TV watching is not actual TV. I watch Dropout.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty exclusively.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on – not this last Game Changer episode, but the one before that, maybe. One of the recent ones. There's a thing where they have to, like, wager their points, and they're, like – they're trying to outwager the other players, and they don't know what they're wagering. Like, they don't know what they're going to be doing at the end of this. And one of them was wagering how many times that they will say hungy on the phone to a pizza delivery person.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
I will find the clip and send it to you. Please. Because that's all I've been thinking of when we talk about angy. Is I'm hungy.
Hungy. Oh, my God. Amazing. Well, it's good to be back. I'm sure that in our next episode, we'll be talking about She Believes Cup stuff.
Yeah.
Because that is coming up in February. It is today. What's today? January 28th is today. So I'm sure you'll get this podcast by March, though I make no promises. And then we'll talk about the She Believes Cup and other stuff. I think preseason stuff for the NWSL is starting very soon. So all these changes that we talked about,
we'll get to see them.
We will get to see them. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Follow us on Instagram at HatPixPod. We have a Twitter still. I don't look at it, but you can follow us there also at HatPixPod. And then you can send us an email at HatPixPod@gmail.com.
Do that. Send us your soccer nemesis.
Please.
Ooh, we could do a poll on Instagram. Who's your soccer nemesis? X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, answer here. Who is your soccer nemesis?
And tell us why is Jaylene Stinkle.
She's everybody's soccer nemesis. I know, that's nemesis. Why I was, yes. I can't – if your soccer nemesis is Jaylene Stinkle, just don't put it – just don't tell us. We already know because she's everybody's no soccer.
Save your like, breath.
Just like save all that work for your little thumbs. We know.
All right. On that note, I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
the HatPix Podcast.